VOA News, I'm Joe Palca. A second woman is now accusing U.S. High Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct. AP's Sagar Magani reports.
The New Yorker magazine reports Senate Democrats are now investigating an allegation from Deborah Ramirez, who tells the magazine of sexual misconduct by Kavanaugh during his freshman year at Yale. Kavanaugh says the event did not happen, calling the allegation a smear, plain and simple. Details of the new allegation came just hours after a Senate panel agreed to a date and time for an extraordinary hearing with Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford, who accuses him of sexually assaulting her in high school. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein's now calling for the Senate to immediately postpone any further action on Kavanaugh's nomination. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Maldives opposition leader Ibrahim Mohamed Soleh said today that he won Sunday's presidential vote against incumbent Abdullah Yameen. The country has been in political turmoil since February when Yameen imposed a state of emergency to annul a Supreme Court ruling that quashed the convictions of nine opposition leaders, including Mohamed Nasheed, the country's first democratically elected leader and former president, and speaking here through an interpreter.
We want to see a smooth transition. We do not want to see President Yameen back to his old tricks. No more Supreme Courts, no more martial law, no more emergency rule, no more suppression. We will hopefully again build a beautiful country.
Ahead of the voting, Human Rights Watch urged foreign governments to press the Maldives to uphold democratic rights. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani has blamed Arab separatists for Saturday's attack on a military parade in the southwest city of Ahvaz that left at least 25 dead. This is VOA News. South Korean President Moon Jae-in has claimed success following his three-day summit in North Korea last week, where he was able to secure agreements from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on a variety of inter-Korean projects and revitalizing denuclearization talks. However, as the president openly speaks about a new era of peace and prosperity absent from the discussion of the North's human rights abuses, a 2014 United Nations Office of Human Rights Commission of Inquiry report found widespread human rights violations in North Korea that in many instances constituted crimes against humanity. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says U.S. and North Korean officials are working toward a possible second summit between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and President Trump. He said the Trump administration is fully aware of the complications and efforts to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, even though Kim agreed at his Singapore summit with Mr. Trump to that goal.
A number of groups.
We have our eyes wide open. There is a long ways to go to get Chairman Kim to live up to the commitment that he made to President Trump and indeed to the demands of the world in the UN Security Council resolutions to get him to fully denuclearize. But our team is fully engaged in this. There are lots of conversations taking place. There's lots of work being done. It isn't all visible to the public, but we are fully engaged in the process. We understand the objective, and economic sanctions will remain in place until we get there.
Pompeo also said he has invited his North Korean counterpart Ri Yong-ho to a meeting on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly session this week in order to stay in touch. Another set of tit-for-tat tariffs imposed by the United States and China on each other's goods took effect on Monday. The new U.S. duties cover thousands of Chinese-made products, including electronics, food, tools, and housewares. The new tariffs begin at 10% and will rise to 25% on January 1st, 2019. John Tamney is the political economy editor for Forbes magazine.
The only reason we produce is to trade. Why would we want to put up barriers to one of the most dynamic economies in the world, China?
The Trump administration exempted numerous other items from the new tariffs, including smartwatches, Bluetooth devices, and infant car seats. Vietnam will hold a state funeral and national mourning this week for President Tran Dai Quang, who died last week of a viral illness at the age of 61. Quang will be buried in his home village in northern Ninh Binh province, which is south of Hanoi, on Thursday. I'm Joe Palca, VOA News. VOA 1.